Back in the news again this week, we are seeing Vincent Candelora calling out Pura and Marissa Gillette, who has since left as the chairwoman of Pura, and wanted to get some, you know, feedback on this. And we welcome back to the show a regular. Bryson Hull is in studio, Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. Hi, Bryson. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm great. How are you?
I always love chatting with you. I mean, she's still relevant. Marissa Gillette, still relevant, even though she's been out of the job now for what now? A month? 2 months almost? No.
It's almost 2 months.
Okay.
And then the 19th or 18th is October is when she left. It's
yes.
2 months now. Apparently still talking to people at the agency. No one's shut this down, which is insane to me since there's litigation and a whole bunch of regulatory procedures going on.
And so what do you mean she's still talking to the agency? She's still talking to Pura?
Even though
she's not really?
According to my sources, she's speaking to people at Pura regularly, on the regular.
That's crazy to me.
It's insane.
But does she have a hand in any? Because there have been some major decisions Pura has made in the last month and a half.
Whether she has a hand or not, the question that she may have a hand is open to litigation. So why would nobody shut this down and say this is a legal risk to the state of Connecticut, the ratepayers of Connecticut, to the taxpayers of Connecticut? Why wouldn't you shut this down? Nobody's dropping the hammer because it's kind of ugly. And the political calculus, I think, is it's too easy to kick the utilities and get. Feel like you're scoring some points with that, and they're not doing it. So no one's really said, hey, knock it off.
Mm.
And at some point, that's going to run a crop rate. And all you're doing is extending the amount of time that people dig under the cover-up. And the cover-up's always worse than the crime itself.
Well, okay. And I'm glad that you said that, Bryson, because to me, I just feel like this is a waste to not shut it down. I mean, again, this shouldn't be partisan. To me, we shouldn't be exposed to – I think it makes Pura look bad. Right. So we're really excited that Pura finally has a full board. We're excited that we have people that seem like they really know what they're doing on Pura. They care. They're making really sound decisions. Like, this is all really great. I would think anyone logical, Governor Lamont, anybody on whichever political spectrum you're on, would be like, I don't want to keep associating Pura with Marissa Gillette. I would like to get away from that narrative. So why would there even be the openness of her even having conversations, like if your sources are saying what they are, why would that even be debatable or not? Like, I would shut it down regardless.
Again, I think there's a blind spot somewhere in the executive about this, that there was that cult of personality around her, and somebody borrowed that phrase from me, but it's a very unseemly cult of personality around her, right? That, like, she's so great. She's the greatest regulator. Wasn't even a regulator before she got here. She's a lawyer who lied under oath. All these things that we know, and there's still people that are like, she's the greatest. And that doesn't help people make good decisions. And I think if you wanted a clean break, if I'm the governor, right? And I say, okay, here's the new Pura, clean break from the past, and I'm the new chairman, I'm livid.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm waiting to hear from Pura too.
My time here.
Right.
And Tom Wheel made all the right statements. He came out and said, this is going to be a proper regulatory agency. We're going to follow the book. It's not going to be personalities. It's about the record. Great. But if you still have someone who's now over, by the way, at an organization designed to take apart the regulated utility model, literally, now she's immediately 3 days she leaves, she's over there. What do you think she's doing? What do you think she was doing when she was here? I've said it before. I'll say it again. The interest groups that want to destroy things like that, progressive groups, they want to come in. They pick a state like this that's not very sophisticated. They come in. They make all these changes. They have their chorus over here of their fanboys and fangirls saying, oh, this is so great. This is revolutionary. Boom, boom, boom. And then you've got something that's broken. Her entire record basically was wiped out by the judge in the lawsuit. Okay? Your entire
well, that's just it. Even if
years.
You did a lot of great things, as soon as, like you said, as soon as you have a cover-up or something of merit, it almost discredits anything else that happened prior to that.
Did she do any great things? She did nothing great. She ruined the system, basically wasted 6 years of people's time, and destroyed the credit of every utility in the state. That's not a good record.
Ultimately. I mean, you could kind of argue, though, that she did make Pura more relevant. I mean, I don't think anybody knew what Pura was. And I do think that we did see, right? No, I mean, you're laughing.
Okay.
Right?
I'm saying, but the great thing is, she did do one great thing. She allowed people to see exactly what their bill is. So they know, oh, this is all the public benefits charged. This is only what I'm paying my utility. This is what goes to
I appreciate
supply.
That. Yeah.
That's a great thing. That's
right.
Transparency. You don't see that in other states because they're like, we don't want you to know how much this costs. You know,
right.
Really.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll give her that one.
Okay. See?
See?
See? We're not all mean. We're not
here.
All a bunch of bullies here.
No
but I mean, to your point though earlier, Bryson, and again, Bryson Hull is here, Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. I think What I worry about is I feel like if you're reading just the headlines, you know, Representative Karen Candelora, because I know the article you're referencing this week, you know, it seems to just be coming from him. Like, I'm not even hearing other. I mean, I'll hear like, you know, oh, yeah, we'll all sign our names on this letter. That's coming from Vincent Candelora. That's really who is, I feel like, running the charge against, hey, we have to make sure Marissa Gillette is out of the equation, even though she's not technically the chairwoman of PIRA any longer. But I'm not seeing where he's got an army behind him, even from his own party. I just feel like he's going at the solo. And I worry that it's going to become where now he has the narrative of you're a crazy person, you can't let it go. That's my concern here. And I don't know if you're seeing that.
I don't see that.
Okay.
Because Vincent Candelora just seems to be a very reasonable, logical, calm person.
Yes.
He was able to broker essentially the departure of Marissa Gillette. That happened with the speaker, right? That was basically an agreement. Here's the letter saying I want an impeachment.
Right, but he did that, right.
He did that.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party in the state could be much better organized and more coherent and get their messaging together and stop just faffing about and acting like, well, it's a blue state, we're not going to win. If you want to win, you have to play to win. He's playing to win. His peers should be right behind him playing to win because they have this issue. They're correct on it. There are good things that can be done. And there are good things that can be done in a bipartisan way because there are reasonable people that are not sitting in the Democratic side of things going, oh, we should just keep going the way we're going.
Right.
There are some. And, you know, they're going to be running the Energy and Technology Committee again. I'm sure that's going to be very effective.
Mm. Yeah. I just think it's interesting that it she is staying relevant. I just think that that's an interesting part of this is that I feel, like I said, there have been at least two, one in particular, major decisions that were made by PIRA in the last month and a half. And to me, I think we're still hearing about Marissa.
One of the great things about like advocating for something is if you have a good villain in the story, you've got something to rally around. And if she had done no wrong, the criticism that, oh, you're picking on her because she's a female, because she's this might have been relevant. Fortunately, she did wrong. So we have somebody who actually did wrong, so we can effectuate some change. If the Republicans were able to get around that, get past that, and start talking about the system problems, we have systematic problems. They can be fixed, but you've got to sit down, you've got to agree, you've got to bring everybody to the table.
Yeah.
That's the way to win this.
Yeah. Okay, so before we go to Eversource, because I do want to get Bryson's take on this one, there was one more part of this story with Representative Candelora that you wanted to discuss. It was like a particular group that he was highlighting.
So he was asking for an inquiry into how these funds are being spent.
Yes, that was it. I knew we missed that. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Sorry, it just clicked with me now.
I forget the name of the program, but it's like basically if you're some advocacy group, you can go in and say, oh, I need my expenses to go, you know, my lodging, my food, my et cetera. So we have this group called, I think it's the Nonprofit Accountability Group. Totally obscure group out of Hartford.
Yes.
They got $200,000. They basically support LGBTQIA stuff. And supposedly they're advocating for rates. That's great. Everybody should be able to advocate for rates. You can do that without being paid to do that. But the funny thing was in the Hartford Current article, when the woman who runs this was asked, the reporter was sent to talk to the Sierra Club. So I'm like, wait, Sierra Club's conservation and environment, what are they doing with these issues? So that shows you something. That's a model that actually came out of the LA riots in 1991. When they rebuilt the city said, we're going to have funding for advocacy groups to help us rebuild. What does that do? That allows you to basically reward political allies with government money. So you're essentially buying outside support. That's what Vincent Candelora has asked to be investigated. I think it's a legitimate question. Why the heck is this group, what the heck is the Sierra Club doing talking about this?
Right.
What do they have to do with rates?
What's the correlation between the two?
Are you just sucking up ratepayer money through the public benefits account?
Well, and I mean, I'm glad that you're bringing it up because I kind of was a little, I don't know, it wasn't my nicest moment. I was a little bit fresh, if you will. My mother would tell me I was being fresh. We had a top executive on with Eversource who said that they would like to get rid of the public benefits, put it into the general fund. And I loved it, loved the idea of it, because he talks about transparency. People don't even know what it's going into. He's like, if I had to go to a bar one more time, he said this on the show. He said, if I had to go to a bar one more time, Melissa, and have somebody yell at me about public benefits and have them like have me tell them I have actually nothing to do with your public benefits. Eversource and UI are not putting that. That is from your government. You have to talk to them about it. Yeah. And I said to him, great. Where have you been? Because I feel like this is to me a turning point. This is the first time where I actually believe we could not for sure, could see the public benefits actually be taken off of our bills and maybe put elsewhere, or at least more transparent of understanding, like, do we need to invest here? Do we need to invest in this program? So on and so forth.
So when you have something like that, that's a government-imposed charge that goes on your bill, that's nice for politicians because they could say, see, it's the utilities. It's not the utilities. It's your government. It's a tax.
Yeah, but you know how many people think it's the utilities.
Well, they're starting to realize it's not.
Right.
And so what the heck are you doing with our tax money? Did we ask for this? Did you legislate this? No, you legislated a broad slush fund into this to do whatever the heck you want and pay random groups out of Hartford that I could pop up a group. I could go register for this and be like, I'm supporting XYZ. You know, I make something up that I want to support and ask for money and I get $200,000. Sounds like a pretty good racket to me. That needs to be legislated. That needs to be transparent. With all the lack of transparency out of Pura, frankly, we don't know what they're spending $1 billion a year on, but we know we're paying it. And there was a proposal to take this out. I think Senator Ryan Fazio brought that up.
Multiple times.
We need to do that. And I think the legislature would serve the people of Connecticut rather than their own partisan interests well by actually doing something. And we have Democrats running, the same Democrats running the committee. So maybe they could, cover themselves in glory for once instead of, you know, I don't know, being fangirls of Marissa Gillette and actually do something for the people of the state of Connecticut. That's the move. Get rid of the public benefits charge. Put it into legislation and say, we want to support X, Y, and Z. Let people vote on it. Have a debate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do democracy in the state? The Constitution state?
Does an Eversource top executive, though, push the dial to actually seeing that removed?
That particular executive is a very good spokesperson. He's very smart. I've watched him testify. He's great.
He's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should. He should keep going. Diganto is a smart person, and that's a good voice to have. And, you know, utilities don't get a break. They never do. They always, it's like, it's Mr. Burns. I always say,
well, you
Mr.
talk
Burns.
About the villain of a story. I do think Eversource and UI in some regard, and granted, I don't agree fully with a lot of the things that maybe they want to do or don't do, but when he brought up the public benefits, he said the amount of people who really don't understand that that's not coming from us. The majority of people don't. They have become the villain of that story. Public benefits, it's Eversource and UI's fault. And what's amazing is I do think lawmakers have tried to make that very clear. But what's funny is anytime, for example, a Republican says, let's get rid of public benefits, the Democrats laugh at that. Well, that's not the issue here. Well, no, maybe it's not going to bring your energy bills down substantially, but it does address something that you are spending money on that you don't realize what you're spending money on.
Correct. And I think people need education on this as part of what I do in my job is just help people understand, no, this is where that came from. This is how you, with your voice, you can get out here. You tell your legislator, this isn't cool. I'm done with this. I want this legislated. Don't do it. So yeah, there's always a lack of education, and the utilities, that's their burden. That's the burden of the regulated utility model, right? That it's mother may I, and they get blamed. They're an easy political target. They know that. That's the cost of doing it.
Yeah, but now they're getting sick of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, to the point
where that's
going
to change.
Yeah.
Right here.
I wonder, especially because we're going into a gubernatorial year, if this is it. And I say it, honestly, Bryson, because I don't think people, like I said, going back to Marissa Gillette, I don't think people really recognized public benefits. I mean, granted, the numbers went up substantially in the last few years, but I don't think people really realized it until that breakdown happened. Mm-hmm. And now we've been in it. I feel like for 2-3 years now, we've been, hey, let's get rid of it, bipartisan, at least from a residential standpoint. And I wonder if this is the year that it happens. Now that you've got the utilities even saying it's got to go. I don't know.
I mean, they never wanted it. So it's just it's just a good time to speak. And again, the longer, I'm going to give the solution to the Democrats, the longer you let this cover up go on and you don't have the Truth and Reconciliation Commission over Marissa Gillette, the longer you make this an open flank for people to attack you. And attack we will.
Yeah. Clearly, this is why I love having Bryson on the show. I think he has great perspective, great insight, and obviously love our conversation. Bryson, who is the Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. I will memorize that one day, and I won't have to write it down and read it every time. Bryson, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Always my pleasure.